Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, September 30th, 2010. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week we hear from all the finalists for the Sam Adams Long Shot Homebrew Competition and hear the announcement of the winners who will have their beers in the Long Shot Six-Pack. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Basic Brewing, all one word. On Facebook, I am facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. And you can find our show at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you the show, and we greatly appreciate your support. We have associate links for Brew Your Own magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site as well. And you can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on the iTunes Store, too. And we are on the BlackBerry podcast directory now, too. Since this past week's audio show, I've posted an episode of Basic Brewing Video featuring an overview of Andy Sparks and my trip out to Denver for the Great American Beer Festival. And for those of you who don't know who Andy is, he's a buddy of mine from way back in college, in the college radio days, and he's the owner of the Home Brewery in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You can find his website at thehomebrewery.com, and Andy is the reason that I'm into brewing, the reason that you're hearing me here today, one of the reasons, probably one of the main reasons you're hearing me today, talking about beer. Anyway, you can see Andy and me talking about our adventures at GABF as we sit on Andy's deck on Basic Brewing Video. And at the end of the episode, we open up and sip a wonderful Brett Saison that Andy brewed. Very nice. And I mention that because I posted the YouTube version of the video podcast on our Facebook page. You can see it there. Andy was kind enough to write up the recipe for that Brett Saison and the procedures that he went through. And you can read that if you find the episode on our Facebook page and look underneath in the comments, expand that down, you can find Andy's explanation there in the comments under that. And you can also find that recipe and the explanation of how he brewed that beer in the PDF that's in the extras section attached to the Basic Brewing Video episode on the iPhone app. So if you go to find the episode on your iPhone app, hit the extra button, you'll find the PDF there. And you'll also find an image that I've uploaded of some hoppy IPAs that we sipped at Mountain Sun Brew Pub in Boulder. And you can use that as your home screen on your phone. Make you thirsty every time you use your phone. I've been posting our videos on YouTube. They don't get very many hits on YouTube. There's so much stuff out there. But I figure that, if I put them on YouTube, you can easily use them to embed on your site or easily share them with your friends or whatever. So according to our stats, the vast majority of you guys use iTunes to download our stuff. But I like to give other options as well. In both the audio and video podcasts, we talked about that Buccaneer Bacon Beer from Three Skulls up in Seattle. Andy and I were amazed that an 85% smoked malt beer could be so tasty. Bacony tasty. Well, I got a couple of notes about our conversation about that. The first one comes from Joel. Joel says it's worth mentioning that the smoke beers of Bamberg are using smoke malt as 100% of the grain bill. I think it's also in this month's Brew Your Own magazine. That said, the smoky taste is not overpowering. No doubt there is a difference, since the Beechwood smoked malt we got from Bamberg is from Wireman and not the brewery itself. By the way, Joel says, that is a good beer with your favorite wurst and some kraut. Yum. Very tasty indeed. And you got to think that essentially all the beers back in the day were made with 100% smoked malt because of the way that the malts were dried and killed in the malting house. Maybe, perhaps, if we had a time machine, we could go back and check it out. Probably have sour beers as well, smoky sour beers. Then there was this from my, I made a comment that maple would be a good flavor addition to that bacon beer. And this is from Derek in Cedar Rapids. Derek says, for a year or more, I've been intending to make a maple smoked porter. Unfortunately, I haven't done it yet, so I can't speak from experience, but Randy Mosher has a recipe for Jaggery Pale Ale on page 90 of Radical Brewing that calls for 2 pounds of Jaggery, which is a palm sugar with a mapley character in the boil, and optionally a teaspoon or two of crushed fenugreek, a spice often found in Indian cuisine and often added to pancake syrup, added to the secondary to emphasize the maple character. This may work better than using real maple syrup in adding the maple flavor. Interesting. I appreciate the tip, Derek. You know, I need to go over Radical Brewing one more time from cover to cover. That and designing great beers were inspirations in kind of cutting me loose from, recipes that were published elsewhere and kind of giving me the inspiration to brew some beers of my own from scratch. You know, we did Casey and Jen and Andy and I brewed that maple sap beer with all the brew water was maple sap. And then Andy brought along some grade B maple syrup to put in there. And boy, that was a wonderful, wonderful beer. That grade B maple syrup was just the trick. But the Jaggery may work as well. After hearing the show with Chris Colby on strikewater temperatures, Nick from Shropshire, England wrote, "Hi, James. Love the show." Thanks, Nick. "Just caught the one on strike temperatures. And like you, I tend to just add the water to my mash tun a few degrees hotter than the intended strike temp. I keep it even simpler, though. I just stir the water a few times, and the temp generally drops the couple of degrees in a few minutes. No jugging water needed." Very nice. Appreciate that, Nick. That would work well if you're just a little bit above your target strike water temperature. Stir it about a bit. And on the topic of a slaking heat, Fred Johnson from Apex, North Carolina, who you've heard on the show before, writes, "I think there is some misinformation floating around there about what is slaking or what slaking heat is. Slaking heat is not generated from the hydrolysis of the starch. It's generated by the dissolution of the starch crystals," crystals in quotation marks. "The starch exists as a hydrate in which the heat is stored in its formation by the plant. The breaking apart of these starch hydrate crystals, used loosely, causes the molecules of starch to loose this heat of hydration. This is the source of the so-called slaking heat that occurs during malting. It is instantaneous and does not depend on the slower reaction of hydrolysis of the starch. Hydrolysis of starch may, too, generate some heat, but this is not what one is observing at mash end. One should be able to observe slaking heat when adding water grains that have no hydrolytic enzyme activity." Thanks, Fred. Appreciate that. I still think that slaking heat would make a great name for a detective drama on Lifetime or USA Network. Coming up next, slaking heat. Then there's a serious note. Got an email from Craig in Massachusetts. He says that Jeff Fuller, a member of Craig's Homebrew Club, has contracted Eastern equine encephalitis, apparently from an infected mosquito. Craig says Jeff has been in a coma for a week, but is showing signs of improvement, which is great news. A raffle has been set up to help with Jeff's expenses, and several great homebrew-related prizes have been donated for that raffle. I read in one of the articles about Jeff that he was a semi-finalist in the Sam Adams Longshot competition for an Imperial Black IPA, which sounds very tasty. You can help Jeff out and find more information about his situation at jeffraffle.com. jeffraffle.info, jeffraffle.info, and maybe you could win yourself some prizes, some good homework prizes in the process. Good luck to Jeff and his family, and appreciate Craig for passing that on. Let's hope that Jeff is back beside the brew pot brewing some amazing IPAs soon. Speaking of the long shot competition, let's go back a couple of weeks to the events surrounding the Great American Beer Festival. Each year, the Boston Beer Company holds a homebrew competition to select the beers that will go into the Sam Adams Long Shot six-pack. This year, they tried something different, soliciting beers that will only fit into Category 23, which is a sort of catch-all for beers that don't fit anywhere else in the style guidelines, sort of oddball beers, which I thought was exciting. I've got lined up here a bunch of interviews, a bunch of sound bites. First, you'll hear Jim Cook from Sam Adams. And then you'll hear from the four homebrew finalists that don't work for Sam Adams. And then the three Sam Adams employees. And finally, you'll hear the results of the competition.
Why Category 23?
Well, Category 23 allows a brewer to do anything. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed, and I think is really one of the strengths of the homebrewing community, is an anything goes approach. So we wanted to tap into the creativity of thousands of homebrewers, and we got it.
How was the response?
We had an enormous range of very, very interesting and mostly delicious beers, so I was really happy.
What was the most interesting combination of ingredients that you remember from all the entries?
Well, there were a bunch of them, and you know, you have to separate interesting, which can often mean unpleasant, from interesting, good. To me, actually, one of the most interesting good ones is from one of our own Boston Beer Company people who used lavender and lavender honey on a base wheat beer. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. Who would have thought of lavenders in beer?
So does it, being translating this to a commercial brew, does that set up some challenges for you? I mean, is this, if that beer wins, how much lavender are you going to have to buy?
One of the unique capabilities of Sam Adams is sourcing the best ingredients from all over the world. Because we've been doing this, you know, for a couple of decades, and we're just used to being able to, like, find the best cinnamon in the world in Saigon, go to West Africa and find grains of paradise. Because we started with the first and most important spice in beer, which is hops, and went to small growers in Bavaria to acquire the heirloom hops of the German lager brewing tradition, the Hallertau Mittelfrau and the Tettnang Tettnang. So this is what we do.
Well, congratulations, and I look forward to seeing the winners. And by the way, my wife's favorite beer is your cherry wheat. So
you married well. Take good care of that woman. Those are Traverse City cherries. We actually did a cherry tasting with about a dozen different cherries from all over the world, from Hungary, from Washington State, from Michigan, from Asia. The best cherries for that beer come from Traverse City, Michigan.
I'll be darned.
Your wife has good taste.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
My name is Alexandra Peters, and I am from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I brewed a chamomile honey heather tip wheat beer.
My goodness. Chamomile honey heather tip wheat beer. So where did you come up with that?
My inspiration kind of came from Egypt and how women were the original brewers, because the chamomile I used in the beer was organic and it was from Egypt. And then the honey was actually from Hawaii. So it's a little different.
So it has a worldwide influence.
Yes, it does. Yes, it's an international beer.
Is this the first time that you've brewed something this kind of off the wall, or is this your kind of modus operandi or whatever?
No, this is definitely my first time. Before that, I was a California Common girl, a red ale, definitely a brown ale girl. But yeah, this is kind of the first time I went with herbs and that sort of different ingredients.
Was it the theme of the contest that inspired you to go this direction?
No, actually, I had the beer before I heard about the contest, and I just entered it on a whim to get some tasty notes back, and I made it to the finals.
So your beer definitely goes with the shirt I'm wearing, the Rheinheitsgebot is a four-letter word kind of thing.
Yes, for sure.
So tell me about the character of the beer.
Oh, well, you know what? It's very floral. It has, when you smell it, you smell the bouquet of flowers. And then you have the very subtle sweetness of the honey. And I think the heather tips might add just a little mintiness, a little more bitterness with the hops, but it's not bitter at all. It's very mild, very, very easy drinking, come home after a long day at work, sit down, have it. It's that type of beer.
So tell me about the additions. When did you add the ingredients?
Okay, I added the honey at the very beginning of the boil. And then I added the chamomile and the heather tips at the end of the very end of the boil, about 5 minutes towards the end. And then I left it in when I was chilling it with the wort chiller.
Okay. Now, where did you get the heather tips?
I just ordered it off the internet.
Okay.
I ordered the chamomile from an organic company offline, and then I got the Hawaiian honey from Whole Foods.
So it's got to be exciting to come all this way.
I can't even express how excited I am about this. This is amazing.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Oh, thank you, James. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. My name is Mike Leeds. I'm from Camarillo, California, and I've been homebrewing for about 4 months.
Really?
Yeah.
And here you are.
Yeah. It's been a little surprising. The beer that I entered is actually the third beer that I brewed, and it's a Wolfberry Wheat Ale. It uses wolf berries, also known as goji berries, and also a little bit of honey, primarily for aroma.
So were you inspired by this contest to brew that particular beer, or was this something you had on hand?
It was it was actually started as a joke from a friend. When I first started brewing, he was like, you should make a beer with goji berries, because he heard a story about them. I guess they come from the Himalayas, and they've been used for thousands of years as for their curative effects in China or something. And so he was joking with me, and then I heard about the Samuel Adams Longshot 23 competition, and it was Category 23, which is specialty beers. I thought, okay, I can do this, I think. And I mainly entered because I wanted to get the score sheet. You get a score sheet from BJCP judges, and I wanted to see how I was doing. I thought my beer was okay, but I wasn't sure if it was just, because I spend so much time making it. Maybe I was, giving myself the benefit of the doubt.
So how did you use the berries in the beer?
I added them to the secondary fermenter. So after, I did a little bit of research before doing it. It seemed like I used whole frozen berries, which I thawed and then added to my carboy and secondary fermentation. I didn't do anything to sanitize them. They were straight out of the bag, but I was hoping that the alcohol content from primary fermentation would sort of inhibit any sort of nasties from growing, and it worked out, I think.
So far, so good, huh?
Yeah.
How long has it been in the bottle, or have you seen any change in the flavor of the beer over the bottle conditioning time?
Yeah, unfortunately, as a beginning brewer, I actually didn't get very many bottles out of it. I made mistakes both in transferring from the primary to the secondary and from the secondary to the bottling bucket. So I had 26 beers, and I think 7 had to be provided to the competition. I tried to save a few. I think I tried it at about 2 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and like 5 weeks. It seemed to peak at about 3 weeks. Maybe, I don't know. It's a wheat ale, so I think it's better to have it a little fresher, I guess.
Well, it's interesting. Do you have any other aspirations of entering other contests, or it seems I would hate to think that you'd peak too early here.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping this is the first of many. I don't know. I want to get a lot of feedback about my beers and hopefully improve my processes and my own recipes and stuff too.
Well, excellent. Are you an extract or all-grain brewer?
I'm currently partial mash, and I'm looking to go all-grain. I've been trying to figure out what sort of mash tun, whether I'll just buy a built one or maybe try to put together one on the cheap. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of space. I brew in an apartment, which makes it a little difficult.
So you may want to look into small batch brewing.
Yeah, I'd love to do 10-gallon batches and keg and everything, but it's not particularly practical.
Well, Michael, it's good to meet you. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Richard Roper. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I brewed a Belgian IPA.
A Belgian IPA. Talk about the character of that beer.
It's sort of a mix between a Belgian triple and an American IPA. So you have the sweetness and the spiciness of the Belgian, and also the hoppiness and, you know, bitterness of the IPA.
Was it an interesting time to trying to balance those two characteristics?
It was, and I used a couple of interesting hops too. I think that helped. The Sorochi Ace and Citra hops, and I think it kind of brought a good citrus, you know, lemony kind of balance to the beer.
What was the hop schedule like?
I used 8 ounces total of all the hops, and probably put about 3 ounces in 30 minutes, another 3 ounces in 30 minutes, and 2 ounces at the very end.
So is this the first time you've brewed something like this?
I've actually brewed this a couple of times, so it was probably my second or third time brewing this beer.
And talk about the malt bill.
I used Belgian Pilsen malt, torrefied wheat. I used 20L Caravani, and Belgian candy sugar. And I think the Belgian candy sugar really brought it all together, too.
And what yeast?
I used a Belgian wit yeast from White Labs.
So I guess you're excited to be among the finalists.
Oh, I'm thrilled. So Sam Adams is... It's, you know, they really rolled out the red carpet for us, and I'm excited and happy just to be here.
Awesome. Well, congratulations and good luck.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
My name is Rodney Kibsey. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I brewed a black IPA, also known as a newer style called Cascadian Dark Ale for people that are not familiar with it.
So what's the character of this beer?
It's got the subtlety of a roasty beer, but it doesn't have the sharpness that you would get out of like a stout. But then it also packs a big American hop punch with bitterness and hop flavor.
What kind of hops did you use?
I used Chinook for bittering, Simcoe Amarillo for flavoring, and Simcoe Amarillo for dry hopping.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What inspired? Did you have the beer on hand, or did this contest inspire you?
It was actually kind of a combination thing. I had heard that. I had entered long shot in the past, and I heard that this year they had reduced it down to category 23, which was kind of interesting and made me think that, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, try to make something different, something I don't have laying around. And so it encouraged me to do that, and I also entered the National Homebrewers Competition. So I made it for both competitions.
Well, congratulations. Good luck.
Thanks.
My name is Caitlin DeClerc, living in Southern California, originally from Connecticut, and I brewed an ale brewed with lavender and honey.
Now, why did you pick lavender and honey?
Actually, this past spring, we were at a local tasting event in Orange County, and a brewery used chamomile tea and thyme, so it got me thinking about using some herbal ingredients and settled on lavender. I love the color purple. Lavender also has, you know, that relaxing quality, so makes you want to kick back on a Friday with a beer and relax. And then the honey to just balance it out, because the lavender provides just a little bit of bitterness as well.
So you work for Sam Adams.
I do.
Was this your first time to enter the competition?
Yeah. So I've been with the company 4 years. This was the first time I brewed from beginning to end in my kitchen. So the past couple times we went to a homebrew place where they kind of assist you along the way. So this was the first official time. So very, very exciting.
How did it go?
Apparently well. I think we were shocked, you know, to make the top 18 and then the top 3. So it's been exciting enough just to go through all of this.
Now, how did you handle the lavender in the beer?
Lavender can be very temperamental, I came to find out. So we figured the best state to use lavender is dried lavender petals. So it's really what you think of when you see potpourri. So you really just you know, tablespoon by tablespoon, and, you know, you just taste it along the way. So, yeah, you have to be very careful with it.
So did you add it post-fermentation?
Actually, no, it was in the primary fermentation. So after the boil, took it off the heat and then put it in right then.
So, I mean, how do you gauge that? I mean, just adding it into the fermenter, did you taste the wort while you were gone?
Yep, we tasted the wort. We were happy with it, so didn't add any more. In the secondary fermentation, we added the honey and actually a few more hops.
Interesting. Well, I can't wait to try it. Good luck.
Let's do it right now.
All right. Well, yeah, pour me one.
The lavender isn't too overpowering. It provides that nice aroma on the nose.
Yeah, you're right. It's very floral. I was expecting it to remind me of like my grandmother's closet or something, but it's not that way at all. It's very nicely balanced.
Very balanced. I think the honey does a lot of nice things to it. So.
Very good. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Rachel McAdams. I'm from New Jersey, and I brewed a brown ale infused with Earl Grey tea bags.
How did you decide on Earl Grey tea?
Well, Earl Grey is a tea that I drink every single morning. We have boxes of it stashed around the house. I've been drinking it for years. I've always just loved all the different citrus notes that you get in the tea. Now, Sam Adams also makes Twisted Tea. So being an employee and selling Twisted Tea and Sam Adams and being in love with tea, putting those two together was like, why not? You know what? I can do whatever I want. It's Category 23. Let's go for it. If it doesn't taste great, at least I tried. But here I am, top three. I think I did something right.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Now, I was expecting, you know, with tea, there's a risk, I would assume, of being too astringent or being too overpowering. How did you handle adding the tea?
In all honesty, I thought about it, but again, it kind of went back to, you know what, if it's too strong, if it's not strong enough, it's my first one. This is my first homebrew. We'll work the kinks out later if I really, really, really want to start doing this more and more. But it blended pretty nicely. It's, you know, I think that the brown ale really kind of took away the boldness of the bergamot, which can be a little much for some people. So I think it really took away and kind of balanced it out nicely.
How did you add the tea into the beer in the process?
Well, after the fermentation process was complete, I let it soak in the five gallon bottle for about 2 weeks, and just let it infuse and do its natural thing. And I came home from my honeymoon and bottled it up and said, "Wow, I didn't make a beer that tasted like crap."
How many tea bags did you use?
We used three. Only three per five, because it is such a strong tea, and it's very caffeinated, it's black tea. So three turned out to be the magic number.
Well, that's very nice. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you, thank you. We'll grab a ballot.
I have to try the third one.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, I thought you tried
them
all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Teresa Salagi. I'm from the Pennsylvania Brewery. I work in the QA department, and I brew Dante Brown Ale. It's mangoes, cherries, agave syrup, and turbinado raw sugar.
My goodness. How did you decide on that combination?
Actually, it wasn't what I originally wanted. I wanted passion fruit, but my supermarket didn't have any fresh. So I was thinking tropical. I love cherries. I love mango. I use agave syrup in my tea, so it just fit. Everything I had in my kitchen already.
So how did you balance those ingredients? How did you know what combination to put in?
I just added, and I tasted, I added, and I tasted, and I just hoped it all would come together.
When did you add it into the process?
Actually, I didn't add anything to the wort. I added it to the fermenter. So it was all added after the fact.
So did you take any special precautions for sanitation or anything, or did you just add the fruit?
No, actually, the brew kits that we got from Jim, Jim Cook gives everybody an employee home brew kit. They included everything, and I work in the analytical lab, so I knew everything had to be perfectly sanitized. So I took extra care. I made sure everything was nice and clean. It was my very first time. I've never homebrewed before. Never. I love it.
Well, awesome. I'm gonna have to try it. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy the beer.
Thank you.
I have to apologize because I'm about to commit a small sin, probably not a mortal sin, which is interrupting your drinking. So I hope the gods of beer many of whom are here tonight, today. Forgive me for interrupting your drinking, and probably more importantly, your enjoyment of each other's company. But we do have a couple of announcements to make, and I guess first I just want to thank everybody for coming. This is about the 10th year we've done this, and for us it's a lot of fun, and I think it's probably one of, if not the only, time that the community of beer journalists comes together here at the Great American Beer Festival. So thank you all for joining us. The business we're going to take care of is the announcement of the winners, the three winners of the Samuel M's Long Shot competition. And I guess I should go back a little bit, because here in 2010, we're at the GABF, there's 3,600 beers, 40,000 people, the largest beer tasting in human history, this enormous, extraordinary event. But there are just a few of us who remember the origins and the roots of this event, and those roots are in the homebrewing community. The Great American Beer Festival grew out of the American Homebrewers Convention and the fertile and twisted brain of Daniel Bradford, who decided that it would be a cool thing to get virtually every American brewery's beer. And at that time, I think the first one was, what, 82? 83. 83. How many beers? 60 or 70? Wow.
And I, a bit of a correction. It was the fertile and demented brain of Charlie Papazian.
Cool.
He came back from the Great British Beer Festival and thought, oh, come on. I helped him.
All right. So we have the midwife, not the mother. And together they delivered what you see today. But my first GABF was in 1984, and it was kind of the beer tasting at the end of the Homebrewers Convention, because the homebrewers were kind enough to tolerate the handful of microbrewers, people who had gone pro and were largely struggling to convince Americans that great beer could be made here in the United States back in the heyday of imports, and the homebrewers were the only ones who really understood deeply what we were trying to do. And, you know, it's now 26 years later, and frankly, the center of energy in world brewing has migrated from the old world to the new. American beer drinkers are starting to realize that English, Belgian, and German brewers know it. They come here to the United States to understand how American craft brewers are creating new beers, innovating, expanding the boundaries of beer, and creating a beer culture in America that is the envy of the world. So this is one tiny little piece of that, that recognizes and honors the roots of the craft brewing community, which is the energy and creativity of the homebrewers. This is something we started in 1995. I won't go through the whole history of it. Basically, we have two separate groups. We're going to release a six-pack of beers called Long Shot. It'll be three separate beers, two of each in that six-pack. Two of them are drawn from the larger homebrew community, and the third is drawn from a homebrew community that is very important to me, which is the employees of Boston Beer Company. We are largely a company of brewers. We get about 300 entrants to our Boston Beer Company homebrew competition. So there will be one winner picked from three Boston Beer Company people. So let me just, I think first thing to do is bring up the four finalists among the broader homebrewing community. So could you guys come up, Michael, Alexandra, Rodney, Richard? And I'm going to ask you to just introduce yourself and say a few words about your beer, if you would. Is that okay? All right, you're up here for the bravest.
All right. Hello, my name is Alexandra Peters. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I brewed a chamomile honey wheat beer with a little bit of heather tips in it.
How long have you been brewing?
And I've been brewing for just under 2 years.
Hi, I'm Richard Roper. I brewed a Belgian IPA. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I've been brewing about 5 years.
Hi, I'm Michael Leeds. I brewed a Wolf Berry Wheat Ale, and I've been brewing for about 4 months.
Wow. Hi, my name is Rodney Kibsey. I brewed a black IPA, some people would also call it a Cascadian Dark Ale, and I've been brewing for 8 years.
Thank you. I have to be honest. I'm from New England, and I had Greg Noonan's Black Watch 15 years ago. So it might be called Green Mountain IPA. So anyway, that's a little inside. But let me. And so we have two winners here, or I guess two people whose beers will be in the six pack for winners. You all made really awesome beers, and you have proved something that I have always believed, which is that the line between a talented home brewer and a practicing professional brewer is completely arbitrary and imagined. The beers that you guys made would stand out even at the GABF. So I apologize that we have only two winners because you all made great beers. And the winners are first, Rodney, again. Congratulations. And of course, all of this is done blind. So to me, you know, it's in some ways validation that we are recognizing the skill of homebrewers because over the 15 years, we have had actually two repeat winners. So that could not happen randomly. This actually happens as a result of tremendous skill. So congratulations. And our second winner is Richard. So. And I apologize to you guys because you made great beer. So try again. You know, we have had finalists who've come back and won. So cheers.
Cheers.
I'm going to now bring up the three finalists from the Sam Adams Homebrew Competition.
Did you taste those beers?
Yeah. And we do have several of the judges who helped us pick those beers. John Hall and Tony Porter, I know I've seen here. So thank you guys for helping. And we now have the three finalists from Boston Beer Company. Interestingly, all women, and people have asked me about that, and it is done completely blind. We had no idea whose beers we were picking. So I think it's pretty interesting, actually, that of the total of 7 finalists, 4 were women. And you know, as a man, I'm trying to rationalize that. So all I can think of is, you know, this year we did the contest a little differently. In the past, we've said brew whatever you want. We'll judge everything according to style, which is kind of a boring way to judge things, frankly. It's like judging a dog show. You know, it's like you see this stupid-looking dog, but it's, you know, what a shih tzu is supposed to look like, so you have to give it a medal. So, so this year, we said we only want category 23. And category 23 refers to the category within the Beer Judge Certification Program guidelines. Category 23 is kind of the loony bin of brewing. It's kind of anything goes. It's for beers that do not fit into any recognized style category. So that was a lot of fun. And we had 3 extraordinary, all quite different beers. I'm going to let Teresa and Rachel and Caitlin just say a little bit about their beer and who they are.
Hello, I'm Caitlin DeClerc. I work in Southern California, and I brewed an ale brewed with lavender and honey. And I'm Rachel McAdams, and I work in Central New Jersey, and I made a brown ale infused with Earl Grey tea.
Hi, I'm Teresa Salaggi, and I work in the Pennsylvania Brewery, and I brewed an ale with mango, cherries, agave syrup, and raw sugar.
Now, my male rationalization for this is, you know, category 23 calls for culinary skills. So, and, you know, any man who's smart doesn't have to cook. That's my rationalization. All right, I can see you're not buying it. But I'm a man, you don't have to explain this failure away. I can't accept it. And these were all really wonderful beers. Actually, Charlie Papazian and I served at the homebrew seminar at the Great American Beer Festival last night to the shock and awe of a lot of homebrewers. Because now, was this, whose first beer was this?
All of ours.
All of them. All of these beers were the first homebrew. Which does, you know, it confirms what Charlie has always taught us, which is, you know, homebrewing is, while it is an ancient art with extraordinary complexity and science behind it, it is still as simple and basic as making bread, with all of the challenges and variety. But somebody with a good palate who reads Charlie's book and knows how to follow directions, which might also be the reason why we have 3 women up here, can make great beer on the first try. So I'm just, this is actually a sort of difficult, sad, but I have to pick one winner, and the winner is Caitlin's Lavender Honeybrew.
Like the Oscars without a dress or a fancy dress. Thank you for everyone who voted. You too. I loved both of your beers, and you know that. I drank it the past 2 days. But I do have to thank Ashley and Amelia. They were my team. This was not a solo effort, so we did team building, which I think is a fundamental with Boston Beer as well. So thank you guys for voting, and this is just so great. And I just want to thank Jim, too, because 25 years ago here, Jim won with Boston Lager Best Beer in America, and it's just wild to think that, you know, fast forward 25 years, and we're here making our own beer as well. So it all started with homebrewing, and here we are.
Thank you.
Holy cheers. Mackerel.
What a fun event and a wonderful achievement just to be in the room as a finalist. I have to give a special shout out to Alexandra Peters, who sent me a very kind note after we met at the event. Alexandra says that she learned how to brew from our DVDs. How cool is that? And I have to admit that I was secretly rooting for Alexandra because she said before our interview that she's a huge fan of the podcast too. So, but you know, maybe next year, Alexandra, you can come back and blow them away with another good beer. But like I said in the beginning, it's awesome to get that far to begin with and to get the trip out to Denver and to take part in all that. So congratulations to all the finalists and the winners. And I hope to be able to taste those beers when they're released. You know, sometimes it's fairly limited distribution, at least around here on the long shot beers. And sometimes there are some years where I miss them altogether. But I hope that I get to taste those beers, because they are interesting, sort of off-the-wall Category 23 beers. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form. There's no contract. This is not a legal obligation when you fill out that form on basicbrewing.com. And don't forget to tell us where you're from, please. And check out our homebrewing DVDs on our website while you're there. Introduction to Extract Home Brewing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits as well. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you can find our shirts in the store, too. And you can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com, and I will pack them up myself and send them your way. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Crust and Crumb Master Formulas for Serious Bread Makers, and No More Bricks, Successful Whole Grain Bread Made Quick and Easy. Thanks again, everybody. Remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We appreciate your support greatly. And you can also find the associate links to the American Homebrewers Association and Brew Your Own Magazine on our site as well. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.